Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, we're talking about the prophetic warnings and things that are taking place, and, you know, it's just, you know, we need to really focus on, you're going to see on the VFN torch, you know, the Guy Fawkes mask in the Middle East, anti-American protesters, and they're standing, and written on the wall behind them is the word prophet. Prophet. And so when you're going to be really surprised, because this one particular post you're going to see today available on the VFN torch or on your highlights, we're going to be talking about every single thing God said about what this mask represents. And it is a prophetic word. It's a prophetic word about what's going to take place. We've had very specific things about it. And one thing that comes with it, the very thing, last thing the Lord said about it, is the flood that we've been talking about. A destructive flood, which is the flood of the enemy just flooding in. And what's happening right now, America's being baited. We're being baited that, hey, get your stuff out here in the Middle East. Come bring your troops out here. Bring your ships out here. I mean, you think about it. And it's like, you know, come all the way out there, and then all of a sudden what we saw happen in the embassies happens. And we're already weakened. Our economy, we lost 40%+ of our value of our money. We are we just printed more money yesterday in the QE3, where they're buying securities that are backed by mortgages, which means this: they're buying people's houses. The government is buying people's securities. For example, you borrow money for your house, and then they loan you money, but then the company puts all these mortgages together, and they present it on the stock market, and they sell your mortgages, and now you're owned by stockholders. And so they're buying bonds and securities that are backed by mortgages. Or in other words, they're buying your houses. Wow. The government's buying your houses. They've approved $40 billion a month to do it, and it's unlimited.
Wow.
So what was just said, remember Paulson, when Paulson was talking about?
Yes.
And that's exactly what the Federal Reserve looked like yesterday on C-SPAN. His gut was just shaking. You could hear his vocal cords were rattling, and he's saying, this is what we're going to do. And he knows.
I saw a headline that came across that this has been the most innovative, what do you call his position?
Thief?
Bernanke. Fed Chair?
Fed Chair, Reserve Board.
They call it innovative, the most innovative of all time. Thinking, this is something.
Well, $40 billion a month, unlimited. They can go on forever. Buying the homes. And what happens is, when God begins to allow a people to go under a Nebuchadnezzar, for example, like he did in Israel, or like when he is allowing the Syrians to come in because we wouldn't listen to them type thing, then you'll lose the control of your home. You'll have to rent your home back from the government. Yeah, your government will tell you things like, you can only drink this much Coke. You can't buy a Coke, because now that we're taking care of your health care, you know, you can't eat wings on Friday.
Or pizza.
And pizza, yeah, right.
And they just passed it in New York.
I know, that's what I'm saying. But you're looking at government and say, listen, hey, if you want me to take care of your health care, then you got to listen to me tell you how to eat and tell you how to live. And tell you how much, and this is what's coming. Rationing's coming big time. And rationing is, you know, when we're no longer the currency that people have to first trade their money into before they buy oil. And this is how it works. We may miss a couple things today, but I just want to stay on this for a moment. That the reason why there's so much arrogance and cockiness in the financial districts in America, you know, some know it and some don't know it, but some are living in it. It's because before you can buy fuel anywhere in the world, before you can buy a barrel of oil, no matter what your currency is, it can be the krona, it can be the yen, you know, it can be the Dutch mark, it could be the euro. You have to actually first convert your money to the American dollar. So you got to take your yen, for example, and take your yen, and then you go buy American dollars with it, and then you take the American dollars, and then you go buy the oil.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? It doesn't matter what their economies are doing because they have to take our money. Big deal. In other words, so our money would be stable because they have to first convert their money to our money. Now, imagine this. And this is, imagine this. And I was just talking. I'm in communication right now with Dudermeyer Duderman's grandson, you know, Michael. He's in Russia right now, so we're having a little difficulty talking back and forth. But imagine now the currency is no longer the American dollar, that they devalued the dollar so much that the euro, they say the euro is the one that we want to use now, and it's called the mark, the euro dollar, right? The euro dollar,
right?
And the mark.
Interesting,
isn't it? And we can verify that, but you know that verify that in the post so you can make sure you have a related link to it. But the and so that means that when we have to take our dollars at that point and we have to convert our dollars to the euro. Well, if you look at the 10 horns and you look at the things set up, you know, eventually that's going to happen for prophetically.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll no longer be the dominant economy. And seeing that America said no to God 3 times, took him out of our platform, denied Israel, all, you know, think this could be an appropriate time to make that prophetic adjustment, you know, and which means this, we may have to take 10,000 American dollars to convert them to 10 euro. So that we can actually buy a barrel of gasoline to be able to run our car. Because that's what they have to do now. That's why they print tons and tons of money. When you go to, you go buy you're in Rome or something, you have lira, you've got 10,000 lira for a candy bar. You're bringing out your old calculator going, this just can't be right. This just can't be right. And it comes out to like 50 cents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or they were in Russia when the fall of the economy took place, you know, and the Soviet Union. And they literally took wheelbarrow of money into a store, bakery store, trying to buy some bread. You know, and the reason why people take your dollars for their products because they feel it's worth something.
Sure.
But the second that it's not worth anything, it's not worth anything. I mean, think about this. If you have a piece of trash on the ground, how many people's left that piece of trash on the ground? They just keep walking right past it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It could be the same piece of paper the size of a dollar, but it's just a piece of paper, right? But then you see a dollar blow down the street, and predominantly every single person would pick it up because they see value in it.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Now imagine that dollar just being a piece of paper blowing, and it means nothing. It's like monopoly money.
Yeah.
Wow.
What do you do with that? Especially if you don't know God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or if you did know God, but you didn't. I mean, you're going to just be devastated because we're all fixing to be devastated, I believe. It's going to be like David at Ziklag. But if you have nothing to encourage yourself about, you know, if you've lived your life for yourself and it's been very narcissistic, and I'm telling you, can, right now you can begin to make decisions now.
On this side. You need to be prepared. I heard something here recently that they were reporting that even the quantity of things that you're going to be able to purchase is going to be so greatly reduced. They found this in other countries that when the economy was crashing, that these companies could still make a profit by selling, let's say, detergent soap or clothing soap. People couldn't afford to buy big bulks and boxes like we do now. So they were selling daily portions of soap. And you're not going to be able to buy a whole bunch of Band-Aids, a box of Band-Aids at 25. They'll sell you 2 or 3 at a time. And it's going to take an adjustment. It's going to take a major
adjustment.
We saw
that during the hurricanes, you know, where they have, a $300 generator being sold for $3,000 or something.
Oh my goodness,
But understand too, if you understand the technology, what's happened in regards to supply and demand, it's become so well structured that when a store runs out of Cheerios, for example, or cornflakes on their shelf, they digitally order it. It immediately goes back to the producer. The producer does not have a box of Cheerios sitting on their shelf. They will produce that box of cereal, and they will ship it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's called, you know, it's first in, first out inventory. It's just in time. It's called just in time inventory, which means this, that they produce it just in time for you to sell it, which is really cool if you're a business. But if you're a nation, that's horrific because it means this. When a storm hits, there's no production. There's nothing going to be on the shelf for a long period of time because manufacturers, when the hurricanes, for example, hit Florida and hit the Gulf Coast area and hit New Orleans, for example, I don't care who you were, whether you're a Christian, whether you're a man or a woman, whether you're a Muslim, whether you're rich or you're the governor, everybody was out of work.
Mm-hmm.
I remember looking at this one guy's feet. He had no shoes. He had walked. His feet were bleeding, just walking to kind of get to a. He's going to get to a store. You can't even cash a check. There's no place to. No banks are not there to be able to cash your check. So paychecks mean nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, I've talked to the banks, and the banks said, "Well, you know, we're not going to let you get your money. We already had that figured out already. That we're not going to let you get your money."
Mm-hmm.
And which means they'll declare a bank holiday. They'll give them time for everybody to calm down a little bit. And then once they do that, then they'll come back up again. But you're not going to be able to run to the bank, which means you'll be without money. They were without money down in New Orleans and Louisiana and all those areas and Mississippi and Waveland. And so what happens, the government came in and gave everybody credit cards. They gave them credit mm-hmm. cards, and they started digitally giving the money out. And once they gave the money out, then with that, they were in control. They knew everything they bought. And believe me, some people bought stupid stuff. And it was crazy
TVs
what they were doing.
And games. And
yeah, they were like buying
junk.
Like you're living in a auditorium here.
Exactly.
You got a cot on a basketball court here mm-hmm. with another 3,000 people. And you just went and took the money that was given to you and bought something for your PlayStation game.
Exactly.
You know, and the mindset, mm-hmm. there's not the right mindset. We have a long ways to go, and the enemy mm-hmm. can take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know, here we are. We're bringing this to you. This is what we've been training for a day such as this. You know, it's not what, you know, it's not our plan, but mm-hmm. We have prepared for it. And we've got things here for you. We have simple plan how you can begin to hang out with God and have a meaningful, abiding relationship, which means you can actually hear from Him, and you can learn His voice. We have a teaching available for you on VFN TV talking about the voice of the Lord. If it's not available, please make that available. You know, the voice of the Lord, hearing God, and we talk about how God speaks to His people and give you some examples. You know, we are doing what we're doing right now because we've heard the voice of the Lord, but we've also seen people who just shut you down the second you start talking about the voice of the Lord.
Mm.
So there's going to be people who claim to be believers, but they don't want to hear anything that God mm-hmm. said. They call you crazy, but they put Jeremiah in jail. He was saying what was right.
Mm-hmm.
And they put Jesus on a cross. They beheaded Paul. They hung James. They crucified Peter upside down. They drug Mark, I believe it was, through a city with meat hooks. I mean, they boiled, if you look at they boiled believers, burned people at a stake. And these people were right, you know. Mm-hmm. And so just because bad things happen to people who are delivering truth does not mean the truth that they were delivering was not accurate. It means mm-hmm. people didn't want to hear it.
That's right.
They didn't want to hear the truth. And we've seen a lot of that. We've seen a lot of that to this point. But we're also seeing now that everybody's being faced now about the reality. It's happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening. It's escalating. And when it subsides, when this thing subsides and the throbbing of this festering wound on the earth begins to calm down a little bit, a shift is going to be to have taken place. And mm-hmm. everybody's going to say, "Phew!" But they're not going to understand. The whole thing just shifted.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're looking at probably more of a world evolving government, and where you wouldn't stand up for, "I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God." Their expectation is going to be, "I pledge allegiance to the flag of the world."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the ultimate goal. I mean, you're looking, there's a reason why our president went on an apology tour to these Islamic nations, you know, publicly saying one thing, but obviously promising a caliphate, it looks like, behind the scenes,
right,
if you'll work with me. It's a reason why that transition took place when George Soros and the whole world financial crew got together with two of our presidential candidates in that meeting place in America. In that meeting room with Senator Hillary Clinton and Senator Barack Obama at that time, and they decided this is how it's going to go. And now you see the most traveled Secretary of State in the history of the of America, Hillary Clinton, has traveled, and she's laughing. She's laughing at the death of the Libyan president. She's just laughing. She, we came, we fought, he died. You know, we're sending drones into Islamic nations and pegging leaders off. That can only happen. You can only invade sovereign territories when there's a people in there that's saying, hey, we're for all this because we are taking over the world power right here. There's something happening in the world. We're going into Yemen and we're killing an American with a drone. We killed an American with a drone there, the one that was heading up some attacks that were coming against our country. We're on a daily Tuesday list, supposedly our president has a kill list where he was sending people. You just don't travel sovereign territories and go start killing people without having some sort of international agreement, some sort of agreement going on under the table that says we're going to let you come. Imagine America. Well, imagine America. We see a drone, which obviously we will, but see a little drone flying in today, and it goes over and it shoots somebody, you know, in Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would be all over that. We would be all over that. You see Bubba come out with his shotgun shooting everything down in the air, right? I don't care. It looks like a drone to me. Bam. You know, because that we, but we're
that
not, we're not even
very well be a reality.
But we're not even saying that way towards what's happening. We're doing this to other nations in the name. It says USS, US United States of America on them drones, I'm sure inside somewhere. You know, it's our property. It's our decisions that are making. And our Secretary of State sits there on television laughing, saying about killing the president of Libya. You know, we came, we fought, he's dead. I'm like, oh, you don't know that about anybody. The thing about it is it's not you could say it's a conspiracy, but it's just a huge shifting of the world taking place right now. And that's why we don't know how long we have to be able to do what we're doing, but we're going to do it up until we can't do it anymore. And we commit to walk with you. And it's not our walk with the church is not dependent upon technology, because, you know, you, God, and your brothers and sisters, you know, we can walk on and the church will live and the church will thrive. Matter of fact, the church is about to grow rapidly.
That's right.
You know, not the building, not the organizations, not the non-501c3s. You know, the church remains like a vacuum of silence right now while all this is taking place. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's like, where's the church? He said, well, you can't say nothing because you might lose your nonprofit status. Like, dude, you're going to lose your nation and possibly your soul.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, and if you aren't telling God's people, then Ezekiel, God says that their blood's going to be on your hand.
Mm.
And so this is what God has been showing. He's showing us that, you know, think about, you know, Brother John Kilpatrick, how he saw, you know, a quaking and a shake, shaking that took so, it was so heavy that the earth was shaking so much that it's in this vision dream, both of them, his teeth were hitting each other so hard as he was running through the school, which I believe is the teachings, you know, represents all that.
Mm-hmm.
And that the Mississippi split so wide, and I hope it swallows that Parthenon in Nashville, but that it splits so wide that you can, no bridge goes across it. You have to fly from one side to the other. Or you look at John Paul Jackson, who prophesied, he said, as soon as the fall, the removal of Mubarak takes place, as soon as that takes place, then that is when this all will begin. Well, that's exactly what's happening. Here it is.
That's right.
And our president was a key player in bringing in the Muslim Brotherhood to be able to come to that speech in Cairo that began to paint a picture how the Muslim Brotherhood is a reasonable form of government for Egypt and for other parts of the country. Our Secretary of State has the daughter of a former head of the powerful leader in the Muslim Brotherhood who's passed now, and his wife as well. And now she is the assistant to the Secretary of State of America and the one that travels all these nations. And when it was just barely mentioned by Congressman Michelle Bachmann, they just pounded her and they just humiliated her. And because she and other ones brought up and said, listen, aren't you going to vet her? Aren't you going to just take her through a process of making sure that it's the right person to have there? That's all she brought up. Everybody's vetted in these positions and they did not even vet her, which means, you know, check her out and go through these backgrounds the normal way that you do it, like through Congress, I guess, and appoint these different people because they know all of our secrets. And it's like they that they're erasing the name Radical Islam from the FBI libraries, from the CIA libraries, from, and it's like they're not even taking this guy to trial in Fort Hood. They're letting him determine whether he's going to, you know, everything. It's like,
they don't allow him to keep his beard. I mean, yeah, it's just like, give me a break.
It is totally, totally amazing how we're apologizing for what's taking place for the freedom of speech in America, while at the same time, we're justifying this guy not going to trial in Fort Hood and calling that just some sort of, they didn't call it terrorist. They call it just some sort of domestic disturbance, you know, and it's just like, come on, we're being turned over and we have to pay attention. We need to wake up and listen, our God is powerful. If we turn to him and we repent and we cry out to him, then there's hope. There's hope. There's hope that, you know, that we can make it. Mm-hmm. We can make it. Some of the things the Lord has shown us, you know, you can go to VFN TV and watch, you know, Our God Does Speak. And it's a conversation that was recorded on a conference call of ministers from around America that are sharing what God said to them about the future of this country and their strategies. Listen, there's somebody behind this. It's not the people you think it is. It's a mask. You know, there's somebody else behind it that has a goal to be able to control the economies of the world. And I think there's a word in the Bible, we're coming to an end here, that says, in the end, there'll be a beast economy. He'll be over it, and you can't buy or sell without having the mark. Listen, we got to wake up. We need eyes to see and ears to hear. We don't know. It looks like it's all headed eventually, you know, into, obviously it is in that direction, but we want to know what it is, where it is, and don't want to take it if it is.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.